Time for all the kids to come forward. You're stuck with me today. All right. Do we remember what we read last week? I don't. I remembered nothing. Not even from yesterday. 5 minutes ago, even. All right. So today we're going to be in Exodus. It'll be Exodus 9, 13 through 18, and 22 through 26. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart, and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Now if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. As yet, you exalt yourself against my people, in that you will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as not been in Egypt since its founding until now.'" Now, 22 through 26. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand towards heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, and on every herb of the field, throughout the land of Egypt.' And Moses stretched out his rod towards heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man, beast, and the hail struck every herb in the field and broke every tree in the field. Only the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel was there no hail." All right, so we're completely out of phase with this. I never did read your preview questions, and I'm still not going to. So we'll go straight into the questions. What was the seventh plague with which the Lord struck the Egyptians? Hail. Hail, the large stones of hail and fire rained down from heaven, destroying crops and trees, property, people, and animals. Can you imagine that? How big that hail would be? Massive chunks of ice falling from the sky, hitting you on the head. Yeah. All right. Why did God raise up this Pharaoh as the king of Egypt? Yes, right. To show his power in God. Through the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh was weak. He didn't know God, and God was able to use him according to God's will. Did the Israelites suffer from the same plague as the Egyptians? They didn't. The Lord made a difference between his people and the wicked Egyptians. As the judgments were poured out on the Egyptians, the Israelites were kept from harm by God's grace. So he didn't allow the hail and the fire to rain down on the land of Goshen. All right. God made a difference between his people and the Egyptians, saving the one and destroying the other by his almighty power. Again, Moses challenged Pharaoh, and by the word of the Lord demanded, "Let my people go, that they may serve me." The Lord's goal was to gather his people out from the Egyptians, to free them from the evil of the Egypt, and to unite them as a godly nation that worships in truth. No one could set them free but God. No money, no education, not good manners, nothing, unless one mightier than them would deliver them. So they were stuck. They were slaves. They couldn't do anything. They didn't have weapons. They couldn't rise up. They couldn't just say, I'm tired, I'm sick, I'm not going to go to work today. They were stuck. There was nothing anybody could do. The only one that could do anything for the Israelites was God, because he was mightier than everybody, including Pharaoh. All their efforts would only bring down the whip of the Egyptians harder on them. So no matter what they did, the Egyptians would just beat them. Eventually, they even took away the materials that they needed to make the bricks that they had to make. So they had to come up with all the material as well. So the Egyptians were pretty mean and nasty. Only a miracle from God could save them. It is the same with sinners like us. All our efforts to save ourselves are powerless. So we can't save ourselves. There's no way. We can sit there and go, yeah, I'm going to be better today than I was yesterday. And I'm going to try really hard, really, really hard today to be better. And then we look at the end of the day, we look at ourselves, and we were actually worse today than we were yesterday. That's how my life goes. So as long as I'm in God's word, as long as I'm relying on God to take care of me, to make my path clear, I can do things. I can do things for God. But if not, I'm just running in place and going nowhere. All of our efforts to save ourselves are powerless. Only the Lord can save us from the power of sin and the cruel power of Satan. Moses will insist that not one man, woman, or child should be left behind. Exodus 10:9 says, and Moses said, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. So they had to go. God was commanding Israel to go, as well as God was making the Pharaoh to where he was going to let them go. God's will that no one is left behind. So he didn't want any of the Israelites to be left behind. The wicked may hear God's word, just like Pharaoh and the Egyptians. So everybody can hear God's word, but they don't always obey God's word. But they did not believe it or obey it. The word became something that hardened them. It hardened their hearts. It is like the heat of the sun, the same sunbeam that melts wax. It also hardens clay. God's word melts the hearts of his people with warm beams of love, but it hardens the hearts of the wicked and prepares them to be smashed like clay pots that will be destroyed. The hailstones of the fire of the Egyptian on the Egyptians pointed to an even greater punishment awaiting every person who rejects God's offer of salvation in Jesus Christ. Psalms 11:6, upon the wicked he will rain coals of fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. So each person that rejects God is going to have a portion of that cup of burning wind, brimstone, and fire. Have you, through the power of the Spirit, received Jesus Christ? Is the question. We all need to be always asking ourselves, are we in the power of Jesus Christ? Or are we trying this in our own power? How does God's salvation divide people? Uh, when God delivers sinners from their slavery to sin and to Satan, they are set apart from the world and saved from his judgment. God's grace is what causes this divide between the righteous and the wicked, for without his grace, there would be no righteous. How does the destruction of the wicked, painful as it is, glorify God? That's kind of an odd one. How does death glorify God? That's also a hard question to ask. God's judgment on them allows for a greater display of his holiness and justice. Therefore, it shows his glory in an even greater way. Do we know whether sinners who refuse to receive God's salvation will one day accept it? No. We don't know, but what should we do? Exactly. We need to pray for them. We need to keep telling them about God. We need to just keep God before them at all times. Also, our witness, what we do, what we say, if we're honest and we're do things for people, people will see that, and certain people will want to know why you do this and what power do you do this in, and that power will be God. It won't be your power, it'll be God's power. So we need to pray for the lost people that we know, that they would be able, by God's grace, to accept the gospel. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for this day. We thank you for all you do in our lives, Father. We especially thank you for that salvation that you presented to each of us, for just that acceptance, Father, that we all we have to do is reach out and take the hold of your salvation, Father. Father, we love you and praise you and thank you, and it's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.